want to hear. Katie took off her small pair of black-rimmed glasses and set them on the legal pad covered with her hastily scribbled notes and looked at him, her blue eyes clouded with sadness.
Even if the CIA says no, you're leaving again, aren't you?
It's my fault, Katie. The attack in Montana, Hannah's disappearance, now Rafe. I need to find her. One way or another, after I get what I can from the agency, I'll have to go.
Where?
Medney Island. Chapter 56. Central Intelligence Agency, Langley, Virginia. It was early and they'd beaten rush hour, so traffic on the George Washington Parkway was relatively light. It was already hot and oppressively humid, the aging Forerunner's air conditioning struggling to cool the SUV's interior. As they made the scenic drive along the Potomac River, Reese couldn't help but think about the last time they'd been on this road together, going to say goodbye to his parents at Arlington. It looked different now, the deep snow having transformed into lush green grass. They drove by the airport on the right and then the Pentagon on the left, and eventually past Arlington National Cemetery. Sweat-soaked joggers and cyclists were out in force on the sidewalks that flanked the river, many of them crossing the Memorial Bridge into D.C. proper. Katie took the exit that led directly to the north security gate and rolled down her window as they approached a team of guards wearing body armor and BDU-style uniforms. Reese leaned over the console and held out his green contractor badge for the officer to inspect.
She's just dropping me off. I've got a meeting at 6:30.
No problem, sir, but you're going to have to get out here. We can give you a ride up to the building.
Thanks. He turned to Katie. I'll text you when I'm done.
You be safe, James Reese.
Semper, he said with a wink.
The security officer directed Katie to where she could make a U-turn, and another waved Reese toward a Chevy Equinox with a light bar on the roof for the short drive to the headquarters building. Reese had been to CIA headquarters on a few occasions in the past, but had never asked about a large black aircraft that towered above the road on a pedestal.
Is that an SR-71?
Everyone thinks that, but it's actually an A-12 ox cart, the agency's version. It was a tad faster than the Blackbird, and it only had one crew member.
Guess you've answered that question before.
Every day, man, every damn day. Here we are.
The officer said as he pulled the small SUV to the curb outside the new and old headquarters buildings.
Thanks for the ride.
He had scrounged up a collared shirt, but even if he'd worn a suit, there was nothing about James Reese that blended in at Langley. He entered the hallowed ground of the old building, stepping across the mosaic Central Intelligence Agency seal. As was his custom, he walked to the Wall of Honor on the north side of the lobby, where black stars, representing the fallen, were chiseled into the white marble. Flanked by the flag of the nation and the flag of the agency, the stars were a daily reminder to those who crossed the threshold that they were the country's first line of defense. Above the 133 stars were the words, "In honor of those members of the Central Intelligence Agency, who gave their lives in the service of the country." Reese looked down at the glass case protruding from the wall that held the Book of Honor under lock and key. A black Moroccan goatskin logbook lay in wait for its inch-thick glass to be opened yet again, for another date to be inscribed and sometimes a name to correspond with a new star on the wall above. Reese slowly scanned the names visible through the glass in silent respect, hovering over those he knew. He was in the company of warriors. The page had already been turned on the 79th star representing Johnny Mike Spann from one of the first battles in the War on Terror. It had also been turned on the page with Chris Mueller and Chief, whose actions under fire in Afghanistan defined heroism. The current pages displayed under protective glass were almost at capacity, and soon the page would be turned yet again. Reese's eyes hovered over the names of Redacted, Glenn Doherty, Ty Woods, and Redacted. 19 other stars stood out on the page, names withheld. Reese knew more than a few. Their names and the circumstances of their deaths locked away on secure hard drives and in the memories of those who were there. Reese ran his fingers over the newest star, the one that represented his friend, Freddie Strain. Reese had been there for the ceremony, as had the president. Memories of his old teammate flashed through his mind. Sniper school, their first post-9/11 deployment, Mozambique, Odessa, the funeral, Freddie's family. Reese closed his eyes, Freddie's face coming to him from beyond the grave. "I'm sorry, brother," Reese whispered, knowing that if it were not for him, Freddie's kids would still have a father. He closed his eyes tighter. "I'd trade places with you if I could. I should be the one in the ground." Freddie smiled, his face blurring in Reese's memory, morphing into another face. This one was hazy, and Reese couldn't quite make it out, but the blur had a name, Nizar Khatan, the Syrian sniper who had pressed the trigger that took Freddie as he rendered aid to a wounded Secret Service agent on a rooftop half a world away. Reese had anonymously set up a trust to take care of Freddie's special needs child. The money he'd used had been a reward from the British Crown for taking out the terrorist some had come to call Europe's Osama bin Laden. Reese knew that Freddie's was one of the names not written next to his star. Classified. Just like the star that represented Thomas Reese. A bureaucrat somewhere in the building had decided omitting the names was necessary so as not to expose certain sources and methods. Reese stepped back and took a breath, composing himself as CIA staff came and went behind him, wearing suits and carrying briefcases. Glancing at the opposite wall, Reese read the unofficial motto of the Central Intelligence Agency from Scripture, John chapter 8, verse 32. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." "We'll see," he thought. Reese badged through the turnstile and headed for the elevators. He felt the eyes of staffers, agents, executives, and security officers burning through him. As he navigated the maze of the world's premier intelligence service, he remembered that it wasn't that long ago they'd been part of a manhunt to capture and kill him. Vic's administrative assistant waved him through the open door into a spacious office. They didn't bother sitting. Instead, they walked directly into the adjoining SCIF, Secure Compartmented Information Facility, which was a fancy name for a secure conference room. Reese placed his iPhone into what looked like a small post office box, locking it inside and pocketing the key. Once inside the soundproof room, he took a seat across from the Director of Clandestine Services.
"It's good to see you, Reese. Thanks for coming in."
"Good to see you too, sir."
"If you came on board full-time, we could do this on a regular basis. You might even get a parking spot one day."
"We'll see how it goes. What do you have for me?"
Reese had briefed Vic on the phone from Billings, speaking in riddles in case unwanted ears were listening. Vic tapped a key on a secure laptop that was connected to a large LCD screen on the wall.
"The Bureau folks have been surprisingly generous with sharing information on this one. Frankly, I think an attack on U.S. soil against a former senator, whether he was the target or not, scared the shit out of them."
Reese nodded.
"As you know, there were two teams, the one that attempted to ambush you on the highway and the second that moved on your friend Rafe at the ranch."
A group of pictures, along with an aerial photo of the ambush site, appeared on the screen.
"After you drive out of the ambush, the first team moves to the ranch where Caroline Hastings puts a world of hurt on them until you arrive. We believe that everyone on that team has been accounted for."
Vic advanced the slides, and a close-up of six dead bodies were displayed.
"Except for the female they used as bait," Reese said.
"Correct,"
Vic continued, tapping the arrow key again. A photo of an attractive young woman filled the screen.
"We've determined that she was working in Whitefish as a bartender. She's a Russian national on a valid green card. Our guess is that she reconned this entire operation. She has not been back to work since this went down, but we'll find her.
She looks familiar. I've seen her around town.
On that second group, the initial forensics report says that one of them is missing. There was blood on the scene with no body to match. You know anything about that?
Reese shook his head.
Didn't think you would. They're still running full profiles, but it looks like they were all ethnic Russians.
The tattoos made that clear. Anything on the weapons?
ATF is working on it, but they were all Russian-made AKMs, so they didn't come through legal channels. Millions of those guns were made, so that probably won't give us much to go on.
What about Hannah Hastings? Anything on who might have grabbed her?
Reese asked, wanting to confirm his findings from the interrogation. Nothing yet. We pulled in some local assets to investigate, and our station chief in Bucharest is working with their national police force, but honestly, I'm not optimistic.
Do you have any theories?
Smart Money says they grabbed her as a consolation prize when the attack on you and Ray failed, but there's something else. Something darker.
What? Reese asked.
After the accusations and evidence of Russian intelligence meddling in our elections, infiltrating social media platforms to influence our political process, the director is not in the mood to play games with them. The power vacuum left by the assassination of their president has their intelligence agencies running wild without adult supervision. Financial crimes, the election meddling. It's like we're back in the Cold War, but without the rules. We've done a deep dive on their leadership, particularly Alexander Zharkov. Our cyber capabilities are impressive thanks to some help from Silicon Valley. We all know that there is human trafficking that's being facilitated through the dark web, and we've found evidence tying Zharkov to brokering humans as prey for trophy hunting. For $500,000, you get to hunt what they call criminals destined for the gallows.
The most dangerous game.
Exactly. Our records show that Zharkov is a big hunter type, shot animals all over the world while posted overseas for the SVR. At some point, his tastes crossed over from four-legged to two-legged game. You know what Hemingway said? Once you've hunted man.
That all squares with what I found out on my end.
Oh, really? Vic asked with renewed interest.
Do you think that Alexander blows his father's op so that he can have a crack at me and Rafe?
That's my own pet theory, yes?
And he's using Hannah for the bait.
Vic nodded.
That confirms what I learned in a conversation with a recently deceased Russian mobster.
I am going to pretend I believe it was just a conversation, Vic said.
Now your intel is confirmed via my human. What are our next steps?
The director is preparing a presidential finding that would authorize a hostage rescue mission. She thinks the connection to you and Freddy and the attempted assassination will help sway the president. He's not running for re-election, and if we can convince him that this won't start World War III, I think we have a chance. You did save his life, after all.
Even so, he's not going to greenlight a hostage rescue on Russian soil.
Don't be so sure. The operators will all use AKs to make it look like it's a Russian criminal syndicate hit on the son of Bratva leadership. Just enough plausible deniability and confusion to make this a non-attributable action. Believe me, if you knew half the classified history of this place, you'd know this is one of the most sane paramilitary operations the CIA has ever proposed. If denied, we'll have no choice but to pass it to Alpha Group via diplomatic channels.
Alpha Group? Vic, we do that and she's dead.
I know.
Who's got it from our side? Redacted? Redacted.
Commander has two COAs,
Vic continued, using the acronym for Courses of Action.
The first is SEALs from Redacted, jumping into the Pacific just south of the Bering Sea to link up with an amphib. From there, they head south to rendezvous with a submarine carrying a platoon from SDV-1 on a
Redacted.
They'll come from the sea, hit the lodge, and extract back out to sea, just like we've done with
Redacted, Redacted, Redacted
in the past. It's a proven COA.
Even with the AK ploy, if someone goes down and gets left behind, facial recognition technology will confirm it was us.
That will be fully explained to the president.
What's COA 2?
The
redacted
commander is an army general, so he wants
redacted
in on the action as well, Vic said, using one of the nicknames for the army's redacted,
better known to the public as redacted.
Second COA is to launch redacted in MHX Blackhawks from an amphib in and out.
Riskier COA, Reese observed, remembering the army helicopter that went down on his last Afghanistan deployment.
True. We are pushing for COA-1, but it will take a couple days longer to get that one in motion. We are lucky that SDV was deployed for a
redacted.
Part of their workup is the
redacted.
National Command Authority will advise the president.
Vic, you know if the president tries to go through diplomatic channels, he's signing Hannah's death warrant.
I promise I'll do everything I can to ensure that doesn't happen.
Reese leaned back in his chair, his mind racing to analyze the possible contingencies. I need to be there.
Negative, Reese. You never trained for SDV ops, Vic countered, having anticipated the request.
All I do is get in the back and breathe whatever concoction they breathe. It's not like I'd be driving the thing.
First off, they don't drive it, they pilot it. The answer is no.
Well, at least put me on the
redacted op. No.
They don't know this guy.
Neither do you.
I know him better than you think, Reese snapped.
Vic interlaced his hands and brought his index fingers to his lips.
There's something else, Reese said.
I'm not gonna like this, am I? Vic asked.
Rafe is headed for Medney Island. He signed up for a hunt on the dark web. They left a URL with a login and password in Hannah's kitchen in Romania. He's going to get her.
Shit! You didn't try to talk him out of it?
I can see you don't know Rafe very well.
Did you get the URL and password?
Sure did, Reese said, passing the CIA executive a piece of paper from his pocket.
Shit! Vic said again. Just what we need. A former SEAL in the hands of Russian intelligence.
I can help, Vic. Get me on this up.
Again. No.
What if I go full-time?
Vic had been trying to convince Reese to come work as a ground branch officer in the Special Activities Division of the CIA since they first met.
You put me on this mission, and I come in for at least 4 years.
Vic tapped his index fingers together in front of his face, contemplating the offer. You're on.
You knew I was going to offer that up, didn't you? Reese asked.
Let's just say I was prepared for your offer. The assaulters are already down at Redacted, training on a mock-up of the lodge on Medney Island.
You move fast.
We're the CIA, Vic said,
rising to shake hands with his newest recruit.
Nicole Fan and Andy Danreb are already down there. Remember them?
I remember, Reese said, thinking back to Andy's role in exposing the assassination and chemical weapon threat to Odessa the previous year.
As gruff and cynical as he is, with the Russia connection, Andy is our foremost expert. Nicole will be the connection back to Langley and the Counterterrorism Center. She plays much better with others than your friend Andy.
Vic looked at his watch.
If you leave now, you can make it in time for tonight's brief and FTX.
Reese wondered if Vic knew about Oliver Gray's connection to his father's death, or his obsession with taking out the sniper who had killed Freddy. He knew Vic would think those emotions would cloud his judgment, and he didn't want to discuss anything that would threaten his involvement in the mission. If Vic didn't know that the real reason Reese was coming on board was to settle a personal score, Reese certainly wasn't going to tell him. Reese left the executive level and made his way back to the lobby. This time, he didn't stop at the Wall of Honor, though he did pause ever so slightly as he walked across the eagle and compass rows of the agency seal. Visions of Freddie Strain and Thomas Reese had been replaced with the file photos of Nizar and Gray. The Syrian and the traitor were clearly focused in his crosshairs.
Chapter 57,